Hey! Ha! You know, one thing I forgot to do, Tom, was check and make sure that the video looked good on this picture, and it does. So this was as much of a surprise to me as it was to everybody watching right now. Watching? Podcast listeners, watching? What am I talking about? You could watch this happen live on the YallTube. That is youtube.com/... I think we're at All Elite Wrap-Up. I forget. Just go to allelitewrapup.com. The link is there. The YouTube is up there. YouTube link and all the links, including the link to donate to the show. We are live. We want you to join in and chat with us live while we do this show. And if you are listening back on the podcast, you missed your chance, but you can catch us next week on YouTube right here on the All Elite Wrap-Up. Check out allelitewrapup.com for more details. The name is pretty simple. We're going to talk about AEW, right? We're going to Dynasty, and I mean we're going, Tom and I. We're going to be in St. Louis. You're going to see us hanging out. You're going to see, as Jeffrey Sills points out in the chant, our offbeat white guy dances. I will be on beat. They will just be corny, but they will be on beat.
All dancing silly. That's my... anyone who's like, oh, it's fucking cool...
Sounds the like only
thing
guy.
Cool about dancing, the only thing cool about dancing is the confidence that someone has. The cabbage patch, that's fucking stupid, but we all did that, right? Dancing is just all about confidence. You did it.
Dancing is about confidence, and there's a little bit more than just confidence, but confidence will get you a long way, and you might see us there. We will be, you know, the camera might catch us, right? I don't want to tell you exactly where we are. We don't give away our exact assassination coordinates, you know what I mean? But we will be there in St. Louis. We might paint the town red afterwards. I don't know. There's casinos, there's all kinds of stuff to do in St. Louis, especially on the East St. Louis side. But who knows? Who knows what we're going to get into that night? The night will be young. We will be on a high from AEW Dynasty. And I'm excited about AEW Dynasty. We're going to talk about it all night because we're going to make some picks. The fun thing about picks, it's one of my favorite parts of the show today, because the loser of the last picks has to wear their favorite shirt, the Jeff Jarrett shirt.
It is not my favorite shirt.
Tom. That is your favorite shirt. That's why you were so excited about this episode. And you're false. So smiley.
I am smiley, but that's false of this being my favorite shirt. By the way, side note, did you see he started Global Wrestling whatever? Global.
Is he starting up the gold trading again?
Yeah, he filed a trademark, I saw.
Is he out of AEW then?
No, I bet you he just did it for setting it up later, you know. Something like that. That's
got to set up
guess.
That LLC for a future purpose. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Make sure I don't do it. You know what I mean? Oh, that would have been fucking cool if I would have filed that LLC. Oh, man. Anyhow, let's talk about
it. Jeffrey Sills in the chat. He says he's starting it up again. Yeah, apparently Jeff Jarrett is starting up Global Force Wrestling again. Tom sent me a tweet or something like that. And I after I got done dry heaving, I thought, oh, man, I don't want to check this out anymore.
You ain't lying. But hey, we're talking about Dynasty. As Tim mentioned, we are going. If you are going, hit us up on all social media platforms or email, whatever you do.
Yeah, let's be
friends. Send it our way. And we'll try to
come buy us a drink.
Try to say hi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or say hi. Say hi.
Either way, just do something. That would be great. How we're going to do
if
this.
If you buy
tonight,
us a shirt, we'll take a picture with you while wearing it.
There it is, right there. How we're going to do it is I will go through the picks.
Mm-hmm.
As we go through the picks, we will cover what happened in relationship to that match on last night's Dynamite. Now, there's been some 0 hour matches announced. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, as always, just a disclaimer, we are recording this on a Thursday night. So Saturday on on Collision, if any match gets announced there, sorry. We don't have that availability
because
that's in the future. Yep. So let's talk about the 0 hour matches that I have pulled up here, according to AEW's own social media platform channels. The first one I have here, Trent Beretta versus Matt Sydal.
Oh, Trent is winning that.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the ball, getting the ball rolling in order to make Trent look like a, you know.
Trent's evil now.
Well, and it's, and so you have to establish that. You can't just have him losing. Although, we've talked about this in the past, losing can be more interesting than always just winning, but I digress.
It can be. Well, let's actually head out. Another thing that we like to point out is that we like to talk to people, right? This isn't just our show. We want to make friends, right? We want to talk to people. We want you to join in the chat like our good friend Jeffrey Sills is doing right now. So anybody watching right now can get in here, get in your picks. Let's talk about these matches. And also, if you're the type to go on to Threads, because Twitter's, you know, nobody wants
we
to
don't do
out
Twitter.
There. If you're on Threads and you're using AEW Dynamite as the hashtag, even though it's not like a hashtag, but you know how they work Threads over there. If you just use AEW Dynamite, I'm gonna grab it, because sometimes some people got some good things to say here, right? And at Abortra says, "Evil Trenti is hurting my feelings." Crying emoji. AEW Dynamite, and this does feel heartbreaking, does it not?
Yes, it definitely does. I said that on our Threads account last night. So what happened was, after the match of a, you know, multi-person tag match, Shane Taylor Promotions starts, you know, giving a "How's your father" to Orange Cassidy, Anthony Ogogo, which, look, Shane Taylor Promotions, I think, is cool. I think it's fine. I think of this group, though, Anthony Ogogo is going to be the one that like breaks out. I like Lee. Obviously, Shane Taylor is very good as well.
Yeah.
But Anthony
Ogogo's already
Ogogo,
got the swagger. Right?
He gets once it. He figures out the matches, man, he's off to the moon. Also, he has credibility being an Olympic level boxer. So, you know what I mean? You ain't messing with them either. Gives Orange Cassidy.
Is he left here?
How's your father? As that happens, you have Christopher Daniels run down. You have, I believe, Matt Sydal run down. And Trent cuts him off. Boom. Christopher Daniels, get out of here. And then Matt Sydal, like, tries to, all right, well, I'm going to get one at you. And Trent just throws the fucking chair at him. But he just throws a chair at him, hits him upside the head, makes him fall. And here's the thing about Trent, though, that I want your feedback on. I don't know if this is planned or just by coincidence, but he's yet to change that shirt since he turned on Orange Cassidy. And it's not a shirt that like says, "I'm Trent the bad guy." It's the Trent and Orange Cassidy shirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the shirt from when they were still all lovey-dovey. Yeah. And it's interesting. I get the feel he's washing and re-putting on the shirt, which indicates that like he wants them to notice, because it doesn't look dirty and dingy like he hasn't changed shirts.
Or maybe,
you know what I mean?
Or maybe he's just a clean person. Okay. Not everyone's filthy like you. All right. You know?
I'm sweating up in the studio, Tom.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Didn't even put any air conditioning in this thing. No. And this should be interesting. And again, this obviously is not, this isn't the payoff to this over feud. So you could get Trent losing because the other guys come out and fuck with him now. But I don't think that's where we're going. Maybe I think he just might. He might take some liberties with poor Matt Sydal, and then they come out and they're like, "Dude, what? Stop, please, come on. What are you mad about?" And he's like, "No, it's fucking true, right?" Fucking
I could see him actually. Well, I could see him getting disqualified and losing that way. Mm-hmm. But I still think Trent's gonna win. I think he's gonna look good here. And then the next 0 hour match that we have, at least announced as of right now, actually ties in with Trent, because it is a tag team match. As mentioned, Shane Taylor Promotions, Lee and Shane Taylor himself, taking on Shibata and Orange Cassidy. So who you got in the tag team match? And remember, Shane Taylor Promotions won on Dynamite last night.
Yeah, gosh, I feel like... I feel like there's... still somehow involving the Shane Taylor Promotions for a reason. So maybe I got to give them the win, and Orange Cassidy and Shibata are just kind of they're there. Right. So they're the type that I think can both like lose and be standing around and be like, "What just happened?" Right. And like, "Oh shucks." So I'm going to go with the promotions.
And let me clarify something. I apologize. I got a little ahead of myself. Last night, it was a one-on-one match between Orange Cassidy and Shane Taylor.
Right.
Shane Taylor gets the victory. Then they all triple team up on Orange Cassidy. That's how it went down last night on Dynamite. So you are going with who again? You're going with Shibata.
I'm going with the
Orange
Shane
Cassidy?
Taylor promo. No, I'm going with Taylor's. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I feel like they're still involving them for some reason. Right. So they're going to still get them one where, again, I think they're going to heal to win. And then we're going to have Cassidy and Shibata looking around like, "Whoa, what happened? Oh, well." Right. And everybody's like, "You're okay. We still love you."
All right, well, let's get wild. I'm going Shibata Orange Cassidy. I think the one who looks best in this is going to be Shibata. I would predict, to your point, we're doing something with Shane Taylor, but we're also doing something with Trent. Now, I'm reading this as I see it. We would also need to know the actual match order,
the
right?
Order, exactly.
Because if Orange Cassidy goes first, I wouldn't see Trent coming out before his match. I would see him coming out after his match. I think Trent will go first, then Orange Cassidy will go after
that. It's interesting. Both of these are the 0 hours, so they're essentially probably back-to-back unless there's 3 0 hours. But
yeah, I would think that would be the case. Although, on Collision, we might get another 0 hour match because we know Tony Khan loves those wrestling
matches. They might conflate this. They might turn this into a triple, a trios match or something.
Yeah. So I think Shane Taylor Promotions, Anthony Ogogo, maybe even Trent, take out Orange Cassidy, leaving Shibata to be like,
but he
all right, well, I guess, I guess I got
to
do this shit by myself. Boom, 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 boom. And then I would have
shows
him,
off his big Shibata. And
well, what
the
I would have him do after that is like, he wins, have Renee Paquette go in there and be like, Shibata, you know, you were able to persevere after Orange Cassidy was attacked outside. Is there anything you'd like to say? And just have him do that Google Translator and just be like, thank you. And then just leave. Yeah. I think that would be funny.
Just anything. So, be like, can you tell me how to get to the arch?
Said that. Yeah. I would like to see this arch you all talk about.
Is it still open past 10?
Yeah, that would be great. All right, so those are our 0 hour matches announced. I'm going to do a quick look over here just to make sure. Yeah, I do not see anything new.
Reminder, if you're watching us live in the chat, what do you think? Who's winning this stuff? Who's going to look tall? Who's going to look badass, right? Jeffrey Sills says Shibata and Okada need another match from the infamous one where
Shibata
almost died.
Mm, yeah, Shibata almost damn near broke his head open. Would be interesting. So we'll see. But let's get to the main show. We have what is now announced from the Tony Khan media call. They are going to combine the two titles. It is the Trios Championships, AEW, and the ROH six-man tag team championships. It is the Acclaim, which is Anthony Bowen, Max Caster, Billy Gunn, Mr. Ass, versus Bullet Club, Jay White, Austin Gunn, Colton Gunn, Ass Boys. Who do you got in this? Bullet Club?
Man, who
or
do you
Acclaim?
Got? Because I'm torn on this one a little bit. I think I've got one penciled in, but I could. What do you think?
You want me to go first? I will easily go first. I got the Acclaimed. I think two reasons why. One, from a storyline perspective, it would make sense that the Acclaim would overcome the Bullet Club who broke into Billy Gunn's house. Now, I know Billy Gunn got to beat up on Jay White, but, you know, that gets lost in the shuffle. You remember more things at a pay-per-view. Also, along with that, then, even though I still think he would be in the gang bang gang or whatever it is, bang bang gang, I think Jay White will go back to being a singles wrestler. I think this is kind of, everyone likes him too much to be being dragged into this muck, right?
Yeah. Just, this NWO Wolfpack routine, like I said, where it's just everybody come out and say the same thing over and over again. Like,
well, if he was healthy and you put in Juice Robinson, I would think that six-man tag would be more interesting, but Jay White needs to be a single star. The last reason why I got the Acclaimed is secret time, if we're breaking kayfabe. I think Ring of Honor needs a little kick in the ass with their pay-per-views, and having the Acclaimed on Ring of Honor pay-per-views helps, you know, some of that, right? You could do the Acclaim versus Dalton Castle and the New Boys, or, you know, because the boys have been fired, so he's got replacements, I think, coming. So
yeah,
I think the Acclaim going on Ring of Honor pay-per-views to, you know, do the rap, do the scissoring, would be welcomed for those type of events.
It just hit me, you need to bring this shirt with you when we go, because if you so happen to win this picks game, you can just give me the shirt. But then I thought, well, no, then you don't need to bring the shirt because you're not going to win this picks game. So, Tom.
Well, I got to wear it, don't I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can wear it at the event if you want. I mean, that's.
Do I have to?
You don't have to. We said you had to wear it for this episode.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Good.
Yeah, no, you don't have to. I mean, yes. Yes. Nope. Of course.
Taking your first word.
That's yeah. If we ever go to a pay-per-view, whoever is the current owner of the shirt has to wear the shirt at the pay-per-view. Then we would always be like, no, I don't want to go to that pay-per-view. No, I do not want to. No, I don't want floor seats. No, I don't want front row. No, no. I am going to punt on this one and say Acclaimed as well, because I figured the same thing. I figure, yeah, this is going to go what we've called for. It's going to be a unification of the six-man tags. Am I hearing you correctly? He didn't say it's only ROH, right? This is probably going to hop back and forth between mm-hmm. both brands, mm-hmm. I would hope. But I would mm-hmm. think we're going to see this heavily used in ROH for a while, right?
Yeah.
You know, I kind of think with that, with AEW, being that it is a unique brand, it needs to be a challenger brand, I was like, stick with trios and get rid of tag team or something, right? Like, you don't have both of those running out there, right? You separate yourself and be like, well, we don't have tag teams, we have trios, right? But mm-hmm. I like this better, right? The trios can kind of go over back and forth wherever you need, right? You need a little help on one, you know, move it over the other and just focus the division in one for a while. I think the Acclaimed is the right pick for that. You're right.
Yeah. With that, though, I think the smart move would be to not say AEW or Ring of Honor. Just call it the Trios Championship and then have it bounce around. Because then
right.
the AEW Trios Championship defended on Ring of yep. Honor. That sounds silly. Yep. And so does it vice yep. versa.
I mean, yeah, either nothing or you call it the AEW/ROH, right? Like at the top with both, but that looks weird, right? Yeah, yeah. So yep, just trios.
Then also with the Acclaimed winning, you could get Shane Taylor Promotions, which Anthony Ogogo needs a little bit of seasoning. Have him bumping around with Billy Gunn. That only helps him out. And then again, you can do that on a pay-per-view match where you've built up Shane Taylor Promotions to look, you know, tough and maybe a trios champion.
Jeffrey Seals in the chat says, ROH, the pay-per-views don't need the Acclaimed. The show, on the other hand, needs the Acclaimed.
Oh, I would, yeah. I mean, you know, the whole thing, right?
Like, yeah.
I'm not going to.
But the stories that would come involved with their mm-hmm. feuds and matches would help a lot. Yes, having them over there, again, where the shtick isn't run its course, I think.
Well, and also to get you going, right? If you film Ring of Honor before Dynamite, which I think you should do, getting the Acclaimed to get the crowd going, and then you run that right into Dynamite, seems like easy money to me.
That's a good point. Instead of whatever they're,
I don't like that they do it afterwards, because if you have a cliffhanger, or if you have the exclamation point on the night and then go, but then also stick around. No, man.
Stick around for this less exciting product. No.
Well, because it's like Kenny Omega came back, and that's our, you know, main event thing. Awesome. Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. All right. Now watch the Dark Order versus Dalton Castle. Now I love Dalton Castle, but you know what I mean? It's like, what?
Exactly. Wait a minute. It's fucking 11:30. I'm ready.
Yeah. I don't like that. I'd rather go earlier than stay later, but that's me. Let's keep it moving. Next up, we have another six-man match. It is the House of Black taking on Mark Briscoe, Eddie Kingston, and Adam Copeland. Now, before we make our picks, let's quickly talk about what happened last night. As let me try to find it here.
Oh, well, I've got I think I've got a.
You pull that.
No,
up.
I don't actually. I think I don't. Maybe I guess I don't. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, here we go. We had a mixed tag match. Adam Copeland and Willow Nightingale versus Brody King and Julia Hart. Now, Willow was attacked backstage, and then Stokely and Chris Statlander checking on her. Lights out in the arena. Brody King then blindsides Adam Copeland, and we got our match going. Tim, here's where this doesn't really check out with me. If we're doing guys versus guys and girls versus girls, I understand like a tag gets Adam Copeland out of the ring, but Julia Hart isn't beating up on Adam Copeland. So it's not a true 2-on-1. It's just a 1-on-1 match now with Julia Hart going, you know?
Yeah,
so I didn't think that really hit well.
Yeah, he just has a manager now. Right, I agree. It didn't fit quite well. I agree.
Unless you're going to have her kick him. You know what I mean? If she's going to get physical with him, and then Willow's the one that like throws Julia, that's the payoff.
We have two threads from the same person about Willow, but they're both great, and I want to read them both. And this one says, this is from PVZ Inyo. I don't know if I'm saying that right. He says, give me Willow or give me a refund, AEW Dynamite. And then he said, I want to see Willow pounce Brody, AEW Dynamite. That would be amazing, right? If she just comes in and pounce.
She did do the bowling ball thing, you know, where he's sitting in the corner. True. She
That's true. Yep.
Flip into her. Yep. A flip into
she needs to pounce, then she could sniff the ropes. Like
God fucking Jesus. If your favorite wrestler is Monty Brown, don't listen to this podcast. Just don't. You don't need to be here.
A lot of potential that guy had. So, all right.
Sure. It was all right there when he said Monty Brown was his.
It was right there. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So with that, we get Julia Hart locking in Heartless on Willow. Mm-hmm. So then the referee stops. Julia and Brody King get the win.
Willow!
And then the CEO, Mercedes Moné, runs down with a steel chair. Julia retreats. And then Mercedes Moné is just standing there with a steel chair. Copeland says, hey, nice to meet you. Mercedes is like, nice to meet you too. But then side-eyes Willow. You know what? Willow! Maybe not. Maybe not, by the way. Because the thing that still shocks me that Adam Copeland says in interviews is he has never been in the ring with Jon Moxley. That blows my mind.
Right, because he was gone during that era of folks. And so when he finally came back, it was only a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was that pandemic area kind of thing, so who knows. But yeah, for the TV, I don't think Adam Copeland and Mercedes Moné has actually mingled, so that was there. But let's get back to the picks, and then we'll go into that next one. Who do you got for this one?
It's House of Black. I think House of Black, because again, I think this is the one where like all the other parts on the other side, if they lose, are not hurt by this, right? And the House of Black has needed a victory for a while, and I think I'm going to go House of Black.
I agree. I got House of Black. I could see a couple different things happening. For one, Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe fought each other for the Ring of Honor Heavyweight Championship. Mark Briscoe beating Eddie Kingston. We could easily get, you know, Eddie, grumpy Eddie Kingston doesn't actually want to help Mark Briscoe out during the match. And then you've got potentially, you know, this cloud hanging over Adam Copeland. We haven't seen him since he beat him, but I wouldn't be shocked if a Christian Cage or Nick Wayne or Switchblade? Kill Switch shows up and takes out an Adam Copeland. So for those reasons, there's too many combustible elements on that side. House of Black, Unity. I'm going to take Unity and go with House of Black.
House of Black, yeah. House of Black's the easy choice here, all right? We still only have picked the Shibata match different.
Well, let's go right into the next match that was mentioned in that match. We have for the TBS Championship, Julia Hart taking on Willow Nightingale in a House Rules match. I don't believe we've heard what the actual stipulation is. Let me see here. 1 second. There are 20-second count, disqualification, no rope break. No, that's just...
Sills says, I want Christian Cage to be Swerve's first title defense. Spoiler alert, we'll get to some picks, but man, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, Christian Cage with anyone. You know what I mean? God. Like, I'd take anything. But going back to this match here, TBS Championship match, Julia Hart, Willow Nightingale. Who do you pick? Man. I will go first. It's Willow Nightingale.
It's Willow. I want to say Willow, but, you know, AEW is giving me pause because I think they've shown a little bit of established sometimes where they miss the mark and they wait a little too long. And I'm worried we might get that with Willow because they're like, oh, no, we still got more story to tell. I don't think you do. I think it's time for Willow because then I think they're going to move into Mercedes Moné. And so I think it's Willow.
Yeah, that is my thinking as well. So, yeah, we're right on track with that one. Let's keep it going because, again, we want to get through these picks so we can hear from you. For the FTW Championship, we have Hook versus Chris Jericho in an FTW rules match. Now, what happened last night? Let's talk about it. Taz brokers a meeting between Hook and Chris Jericho. And Chris Jericho does his best CM Punk personation and just acts like everyone should be listening to him. I truly think that's what Chris Jericho is doing here. I think this is all a joke on CM Punk. I think he saw how CM Punk was acting backstage from afar.
So he's like, let me mentor you. And they're like, no. And he's like, what do you mean? No. What? Like, you shut up. You get out of this. And like, yeah.
Well, yeah. You know who Hook could be playing in this? Jungle Boy.
Right. The scapegoat, you know what I mean? Of it all, if you will.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, that is a different type of story. But I believe Chris Jericho is pulling a rib, as they say in wrestling, on CM Punk here. But yeah, Chris Jericho does, as you mentioned, the, hey, Hook, I obviously know what's best for you. All the while, Taz is hanging out, standing right next to him, and like, hey, Chris, why don't you? And keeps getting
cut
off.
Miss me with this is Jericho's like, he's giving him that, like, I'm the best, I'm the mentor, you should, like, everybody, and he's using all the terms, like the learning tree and the Jericho vortex and all of that. But he mentioned a bunch of people that, like, okay, again, if we're getting meta, we know you worked with them in a storyline program, but if we're in kayfabe world and we're watching it, you fought those people, right? You had arguments with each of them and you fought them. They didn't, like, go under the learning tree, right? Like, there were guys that were in your group, but, like, you know, when he was like MJF and we're like, you know, he's like Orange Cassidy, he's like, you know, like,
but I believe what I believe is in kayfabe, what he's trying to say is after you fight me, you become a better wrestler.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But what he's telling Hook is like, let me guide you here. He's not saying like, let's fight so you can learn here. Right. He's saying, let's.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's
true. Yeah. It's a little off, but I mean, it fits. It's fine. And again, this thing though, with the Taz thing, like, I feel like they went a little short on Taz's involvement, not to throw shade at Taz, but like, you know, like just. Yeah, he's there. He's like, but, gets shoved a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I guess he told Jericho, you got to stop a couple times, right? But he looked a little, you expect Taz to be a little more like, bitch, I will kill you myself.
Yeah, like, hey, his dad taught him pretty much everything he needs to
Taz
know.
Taz is not afraid of Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, as you mentioned, Chris Jericho pushes Taz. Taz sells that he has a knee injury, and also he's not a current wrestler. So he drops to a knee and he's hurt. This is where we need timing, right? We need to work on that because Hook stands in the corner after Taz has been pushed down for what seems like a commercial break and then decides to do the slowest walk possible to Chris Jericho.
Yeah, he was not enraged that he did this to his dad. He was just like,
well, he didn't
well,
now
you
show
fucked
it.
Up.
Yeah, there was the thing that I did like from the crowd where they're like, you fucked up to Chris Jericho to build that.
And he paused
get that.
And let that sit, and that's fine.
Yeah. But then he just kind of grabs him, and I don't know.
Well, Tino Ibarra in the chat here says, weird that Jericho is trying to be Hook's dad with Hook's actual dad right there, which is, you know, I mean, that, again, it felt weird that Taz was just even involved in this. And I get the point was supposed to be Hook's finally like, now I'm pissed, but it just felt a little weird. We did get a thread on this, too, where CFraud781 says, actually a decent segment with Hook and Jericho. Easy way to get Hook really over with how much the crowd hates Jericho. Lol. So there is that. I mean, you know, but I don't know. It still felt a little flat for me.
Yeah, there's some details that I think could have been done better. And as always, I think I can do everything better than anyone else. So here's what I would have done. Everything. Big brain right here. Big brain. But this is what I would have done with that segment. First off, if Hook does not want to be there, he shouldn't be facing Chris Jericho. He is notorious for starting matches with his back to his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
He should have been that way the entire time. That then would be Chris Jericho yelling, saying, hey, I can get through to you, like, you know, and talking
and
to
also,
shit.
We had to turn the bag of chips inside out. We can't get a chip sponsor. Like, well, what is the deal there?
By the way, AEW, reach out to Guys. I bet you could get a sponsorship.
I know
a
Guys.
Mm-hmm. Guys potato chips. The originator of the barbecue potato chip, by the way. Mm-hmm. Great brand here in Kansas City that you can get at most grocery stores. But with that being said, Hook should have had his back to Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho then can get closer to Hook without feeling like he's going to be punched in the face, because obviously Hook is facing away from him.
That's where Taz is like, chill out, bro. Chill
Taz
out, bro.
Taz gets involved. Taz gets pushed. And
shove
then
back.
When he does the slow turn.
Can pick up. Yeah, you know what I mean? Look back
then
slowly.
Then he does the slow turn. Now.
That's it. So he shoves Taz. He like just picks up. He hears the flop, right? He doesn't even look back. And then you hear, you fucked up. You fucked up. And as you know what I mean? Then he slowly is looking back, right? And he's like, oh, you did fuck up. And then he could, you know?
Well, no, I like, because what they needed to do is have Hook say, like, I don't need you, right? But what I would have had there is then he's just stalking Chris Jericho down to where then they're in the next corner. And then he could say the shit that he said.
Get out of my ring.
Yeah. Right. The little details there. That's what I would have done. But who do you got?
Hire Tom. Yes. Needs some coaching.
I applied for AEW, by the way. So hire me. By the way, so all right, let's get to our picks. Hook versus Chris Jericho.
Hook. Unless Jericho cheats to win somehow, but I think we get Hook here.
Wouldn't it be fucking fun, though, if Chris Jericho was the FTW champion? Oh,
and we are going to thunderous booze. We'll fill that arena.
And just the shit he would talk to Taz. Let's not forget, when he became the Ring of Honor heavyweight champion, the shit he talked on Ring of Honor and how much fun that was.
We would get Hook on a mission to get the FTW title back again, which, you know, we've done. But, like, we'll all, like, please get it off of this guy.
You know what I would
do? Are you going Jericho? Are you calling it?
Well, hold on. This is me booking it, right? Like, let's have some fun here. Side
chat's
quest.
Agreeing with me. Jeffrey Sills and Tino Ibarra here both say Hook retains.
Hey, look, just hear me out.
You're
what
not
about
saying
this
that
scenario?
Yet, right? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
What about this scenario? Chris Jericho beats Hook by shenanigans, right? We have Chris
Has
Jericho
to be
then.
Yeah.
We have Chris Jericho then just
poking the bear.
At Taz, right? Pushing his head, all the stuff.
Making fun of the FTW title, coming up with new acronyms for what it stands for, right? Fucking it up, dragging it around.
Yeah,
having,
all the stuff.
Having some of his lackeys carry it around, right?
Well, but then he goes, hey, I've had this belt for 4 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is, however long. I would say 3 or more weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think this belt's stupid. Of all the belts I've had, this is the worst one I've ever had.
FTW, F this belt, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he says, it's done. This isn't, it wasn't recognized, but it's not going to be on TV anymore. As long as I'm in AEW, this
doesn't
isn't
exist
here
anymore. He fucking throws
so
it away.
You get rid of it so that Hook doesn't always have to be tied down with this FTW championship.
I like it.
And then Hook comes back and is like, you motherfucker. Now,
it wasn't about a belt. It was about a spirit, right?
Yeah. And then that's the thing. He doesn't bring it back. He doesn't go, yay. He just goes,
yeah,
motherfucker.
No, but we can even give him like that acronym for merch and stuff now, if that's what we want. He can be FTW, right? But like, he doesn't need a belt, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I would do. But with all that being said, I'm going Hook. that was fun.
Yeah, if you were writing, this is what, people should predict. But,
Yeah, no.
Nope.
All right, and another belt that we don't need in AEW, it's the International Championship. Roderick Strong versus former friend Kyle O'Reilly. So this didn't happen on Dynamite. It happened on Collision. Roderick Strong beats Rocky Romero. Kyle O'Reilly then comes down to check on his friend, Rocky Romero. And they just go, fuck this Kyle O'Reilly, and knee him in the face and then beat him up. Okay, that was pretty quick.
Yeah, it was almost like Kyle O'Reilly's like just trying to help him up, right? To give him the like, hey, what for? And the other guys, the Kingdom guys, mistook that for he's picking him up so we can beat him. So they like did that. And he's like, what are you doing? And they're like, what? And so like Kyle O'Reilly shoves him and they're like, no, fuck you. And then I think Roddy was just like, that's it, right? Like,
yeah.
It was just like, oh, I told you, but it was almost like they mistook what he was like, oh, I thought you were in on it. What? Like, I thought you were holding him up for me.
Yeah, because then nice I think Wardlow does a clothesline to Rocky, and then that really pisses Kyle off. And then he gets a knee to the face. Here's what I'll say though about that. Man, that was quick. We went 0 to 100 in like a second.
And I still just don't know why Kyle O'Reilly ever even showed up.
Like, well,
because here's my spoiler alert. Roderick Strong is winning this. You think otherwise?
Do I think
You could
otherwise?
get Kyle O'Reilly loses, and then we get the dissolution of this group because I've heard, you know, spoiler alert, peek behind the curtain, Adam Cole is more injured than they gave him credit for, and it has to like go off TV.
Oh,
So,
really?
yeah, and so maybe he then just is like, "You suck, you're out here," and the whole thing dissolute. I don't know, maybe, but I'm going. I think Roderick Strong wins this still. I don't think they're just ready to flip flop the title around. Maybe they are.
That's pretty incredible. I did not, poor guy. All from just jumping down.
Sometimes it
Man.
happens.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, hold on. I'll get do my pick real quick.
Again, this is stuff I saw online. I'm not saying I know
What
that for sure. This
more?
is from
Right.
source.
I get what, how much more can you hurt a fucking broke ankle? Did he break his
I think
knee?
it's just
Like,
not healing, and I think that's what they're saying. Like maybe he can't be working the road. He's gonna need to be like in the therapy or something. I don't
okay.
know,
That
maybe. Yeah.
makes more sense. Yeah. Cause I was like,
Yeah.
unless it's
Yeah, what
like
I
a
heard was
break.
he needed more time to heal, so he had to get off the road. Yeah.
Okay. But you get what I'm saying? Unless it's like a break that then goes like all the way into your hip. How the fuck can you hurt
I
it more?
mean,
But,
yeah, I mean, well, ask fucking Alex Smith, man.
well, that was a different kind of loop. That was
Yeah, that
bone
was a
out of the
whole different
fucking,
scenario.
that
Yeah,
was a
yeah.
whole different thing.
Well, and that was a whole like it spiraled all the way up. Then he got the infections. And, ugh.
I'm gonna go.
Got that dough though. Got that
I'm gonna
money.
go Kyle O'Reilly.
You're going Kyle O'Reilly? I could see it, man. I could see it. You know, like the international title again, its heyday was with Orange Cassidy, and so there's not going to be, I think, any run soon where it's like this person helped for 26 weeks, right? So why not? I mean, Kyle O'Reilly is the guy you think of when you think of this title, I think, right? He can go defend it against some other flips and shits guys, and they, you know, do their blending of
Yeah.
styles.
Because I do agree with you on one hand, where Roderick Strong could just be king of the hill. Kyle O'Reilly's just trying to get to there to overcome
Yeah, the
wrestling,
kingdom
wrestling,
could be
wrestling.
being run by Roddy in Adam Cole's absence, and maybe that's the
Yeah.
conflict we get when he comes back.
But I'm saying the championship, him being the king of the hill with the championship, haha, you
Right.
can't get it.
Yeah.
Kyle O'Reilly keeps jumping up there.
Yeah, exactly.
But it could be Kyle O'Reilly has it, and now he has to overcome all these kingdom members. Faces off against Wardlow, faces off against, look at that, faces off against another guy and another guy and
Yeah,
another guy,
the yeah, those other guys.
the two guys, the two
Jeffrey
guys.
Sills says this match is going to be sneaky good. I mean, yeah, these are both guys that I think are both the types where they are like a little bit of like they kind of think this is real. You know, I'd say Kyle O'Reilly a little more than Roderick Strong, but like it's like, all right,
Well,
I get you can kick hard to the chest, but again, like you said, the guy's letting you kick him, so let's calm down.
and one of the most famous quotes in pro wrestling, at least to me, is Terry Funk didn't wear no mouthpiece. And you know who that was
Yeah.
directed to? Kyle O'Reilly.
Well.
So, yeah, maybe you wear a fucking mouthpiece. Shut up. God bless it. No, I'm going Roderick Strong because he wears a
Okay.
fucking mouthpiece. Fuck that. Not
Official
kicking
change.
him
You're
for
going
that.
Roderick
Yeah.
Strong.
I'm not going.
Just because of
Kyle
that, I
O'Reilly
forgot
wins.
he wears a mouthpiece. Fuck
Yeah,
that.
fuck that.
Kick
Yeah.
pads is enough.
Yeah. If the
You
Briscoes
lost me
think
with
you're,
mouthpiece.
yeah, if the Briscoes think you're a bitch, I ain't picking you. So.
Yeah, that's true. I know the Briscoes is real, right? I know that. I know them to
For
be
sure.
real, and they don't think you are, so I'm gonna believe the smell test on that one.
All right, here we go. We're going to keep it going. Now for the championship that has surpassed the international championship. We got the AEW Continental Champion, Kazuchika Okada, nailed it, defending his belt against Pac in Continental Rules, which, remember,
Yeah.
means no one can interfere. So no Young Bucks.
Right. Oh, that's
No,
true. That's true,
Pac,
huh?
no Rey Fénix. So Okada, Pac, who do you got?
Tino Ibarra says, yeah, screw that guy for wanting to keep his teeth.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe stop the strong style a little bit. It'll keep his teeth.
Well, also, no, if everyone else isn't wearing a helmet while we're riding bicycles, I'm not gonna put my helmet on. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna be that guy. So yeah, I get that, like, it's safer, but fuck that, Yeah. Fucking, who cares?
listen, everybody else is going to McDonald's. I know we're supposed to like not eat the meat, but like it's much, yeah! like I'm going there.
Yeah,
no bad for me in the environment, but like, God damn it.
If we're all jumping off of a cliff, I don't want to be the only one alive with that memory. So I'm going with them.
Yeah. What am I going to make all these funerals? Fuck that. All right. You got time for all these eulogies? Are you kidding me?
Oh, God damn.
So, yeah, man, I still think Okada wins this. I think it's too soon, right? I think Pac is a bastard, and he's still going to be angry. But Okada wins. It is interesting. He can't come from outside interference. And Okada isn't necessarily doing heel tactics overtly a lot. So, is it just straight up beats him?
Yeah, I mean, he beat.
And do you pick Okada?
Yeah, I've got Okada. Because, I mean, look, he beat Eddie Kingston straight up, right? And they're trying to build him as... outside of the Young Bucks, he's the fucking man. And so I do think there's going to be a time sooner rather than later that Okada loses this championship to then sneak up to the main event picture. But I don't think it's going to be the first defense against Pac. It might be the third or fourth. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So for this one, though, I'm going Okada.
Yeah, Tino and Jeffrey both in the chat chiming in with that. Jeffrey did say, not wearing a helmet is strictly because you don't want to be looking like a dork.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And same thing in pro wrestling, wearing a mouthpiece.
Listen, we take great strides to make sure that we do not appear like a dork in public.
Unless we lose a fucking bet and have to wear this shirt. God dang it.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to wear that to the pay-per-view, remember. It's the rules.
No, you said no. I took your first word. I took your first word. You said no.
You remembered that, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll find an edit. I'll find a clip and send it to you where we definitely said otherwise.
Side note, there's a show, First Things First. Do you ever watch it? It's Nick Wright on it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Wright did this thing where in the first round, it's going to be the Nuggets versus Lakers. And he went with the upset of the Lakers. But what he did was he put it in an envelope. He had his co-host, Kevin Wilds, pull out the envelope and show it to the crowd or show it to the screen for the audience to see. And then Nick Wright said, yep, that's what I got. Lakers in six. And if I'm wrong, clip that photo. Kevin Wilds picked that. It's Lakers in six. That's what he said.
Nice.
That's a smart
Did
way
you
to
see
do
the
it.
There was a TikTok going around. I think it showed a Rhino interview, and he was like, you know, nobody ever kicked out of the Gore. And so he's like, well, yeah, if they were kicked out of it was a spear.
That's smart. That's fucking great. I didn't see that. Right. That's really good. Oh man. All right, let's keep it moving again. We have the AW Tag Team Championships on the line. It is vacated. No one has it. They're going to be in a ladder match, Young Bucks versus FTR. Now, before we get into our picks, let's talk about what happened last night, because I thought this was hilarious. We had the Elite, which is Okada and the Young Bucks, taking on Garcia and Death Triangle. Pac, Penta, obviously Rey Fénix not available. This was fun. I really enjoyed Matthew Jackson doing his best Booker T by having the microphone the entire time, like, you know, during a portion of this match. I thought that was fun.
We have a threads about that too, and it's Abortress again. She says, no, I'm serious. Give Matthew Jackson a Britney Spears headset for all matches moving forward. I need to hear him at all times. AEW Dynamite.
Yeah.
I mean, look, so fun. Yeah.
The best is still Booker T, because Booker T didn't get beat up and he went from the commentary desk to the ring. But
well, yes, was that where they were also doing comment to the NWO guys? Yeah. And then Booker's got the mic, and so they're cracking jokes. He's like, and then one of these right.
Oh my God. And he was like, so oh my God, Booker T, here he's gonna give a big old kick. Yeah, it was funny. Other good moments in this, though, was Daniel Garcia, instead of doing the 10 punches to the head, does the dance on Matthew Jackson's face, which then later in the match, Matthew Jackson tries to repay the favor and do it to Daniel Garcia.
Fucking, my abs are going to be so sore at Dynasty from doing this dance if we get...
Side note, are you going to buy the t-shirt? Daniel Garcia has a new...
Yes.
Has a new t-shirt.
I would have bought it last night, but like I want it quicker. I want it Sunday at Dynasty, so I'm going to see if it's there. If it's not there, then I'm going on Pro Wrestling Tees and I'm buying it and getting shipped to the house.
So here's my question to you. You wear that out in public, or let's just say you wear that at a family function.
Yeah, somebody asked me about it, like, what is this?
You're going to do the dance?
Fucking do the dance. It depends on who it is, how aggressive I get with it, right? Any cousin is getting full thrusted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Uncles,
yeah, brother.
Cousins, you better watch out.
Oh, that's great. All right. So from last night, the Elite get the victory, as always. You know, kind of we knew what was going to happen there. So let's move into Sunday night's match. It's, again, a ladder match, Young Bucks versus FTR. Who do you have winning?
I'm torn on this one, man. First of all, Tino says I was there last night and did commentary for a while. Kind of got cut off in picture-in-picture. Was hilarious. Nice.
Yeah, it did get cut off in picture-in-picture because we could see him but couldn't hear him. Now, I think the international viewing audience, which Ash let us know, I think they don't have commercial breaks. I think it airs as if it's like a pay-per-view. Right.
Yeah, we need our senior European correspondent.
Yes.
Ash Hendricks, yes. Jeffrey Todd is in the chat. Give him the full thrust. We need that on a shirt. Give him the full thrust.
That should be instead of the same Daniel Garcia. Should say give him the full thrust.
Yeah, the full thrust. That's the name for this dance, is the full thrust. We still don't have a name for this dance. Again, we're huge with Jeffs. We are your favorite Jeff's favorite podcast, the All Elite Wrap Up. So it depends, right? If we're going, we are reigniting the tag team division as like a stalwart of AEW, we're going FTR. If we're going, we are leaning into the EVPs, and these fuckers have a ego-driven grip on AEW, we're going Young Bucks. And, man, I feel like I want to say that it's the Young Bucks, but I feel like FTR is back now for a reason, and they have to have something to do. So I feel like it's going to be FTR. I feel like it's going to be FTR, and we're going to get a little bit of a continuation with the Young Bucks being like, what the fuck, and just trying to maybe fuck with them in the future and setting them up with weird things against their opponents or something maybe, right? Like, maybe that's where we're going.
I love that you went there. Good, because I'm going Young Bucks because the scapegoat, Jack Perry,
is coming out and help.
And then he's going to join the Elite, and he's going to be like,
I'll be so happy to be wrong here if that happens. Yeah.
Well, and one thing that you kind of said there that I may push back on is I don't think the FTR as your champs ignite the tag division. I think there's a reason why Ricky Starks and Big Bill took the titles off of them, because it was starting to get a little copy and paste with we put on great matches. Well, what's the story? I don't know, boy. We come from the 80s. You know what I mean? With the Young Bucks, they could do a lot of, as I mentioned, like that King of the Hill tactics where they make tag teams jump through all these hoops. Rumor that I read is that there is a certain tag team that just signed with AEW, and I could see that the Young Bucks celebrating their tag team championship victory, you know, has the champagne popping and all that, and says, we beat every team here. We're obviously better than FTR. There's not a team in this world that's better than us. And then those guns go off, and it's, ooh, I'm from right here. Hey, look at this.
You're right. It's probably Young Bucks. I'm probably wrong, but you probably pick a bunch of other things wrong, so I'll probably be fine.
Look at this. Hey, hey, guys, I'm right here. You're here. Yeah. Michigan, no wonder your state sucks.
I don't like show like Kansas, and I'm like, I'm right here. I do tell people from out of there, I'm like, if you ever look at the map and you see Kansas is like a rectangle, it's got that like little squiggly line right there at the corner, like it's like chopped off. I was like, that's because it's a fucking river, and I live like right fucking there. I'm like right fucking there. So right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If anyone looks at a map and is like, hey, where do you live? I say, none of your fucking business. That's what I say.
My assassination coordinates.
Yeah, exactly. I used to work with a guy. We would at the city, and we would drive a truck around because we took care of all the parks and stuff. He never used any turn signals. And one day I was just like, hey, man, why don't you? He goes, it's not their business to know where I go. And he wasn't joking. He's just like, it's not their business on where I need to go.
I used to know one guy who worked like worked with him like that, right? And we were going to different job sites and stuff, and like he would never lock his doors. I'd be like, "You didn't lock the doors?" And he was like, "The fuck?" He was like, "It's only keeping honest people honest." He was like, "If they want something, they're that bad." They're fucking, and I was like, "All right." Well, he's like, "Yeah. I will have a broken window at that point." Then I was like, "All right, well, fine. All right."
I will say that in college, when I had this really, really bad car, I wouldn't lock my car either. And friends would be like, "Well, what if they steal it?" And I go, "If they're in that need of a car and they take this one, they deserve to have it. Like, this car is a piece of shit."
Jeffrey Todd says, "Turn signals are for safety. Use them."
Like, have you not heard us before?
I'm driving to St. Louis, by the way. So, like, everybody,
but have you not heard the podcast before? We don't do things for safety. We're not wearing helmets. We're not putting mouthpieces in.
Tom didn't go to the doctor until he is swollen twice his size from a spider bite.
And I didn't even go. I mean, I was there, but my mom took me. She came to my house, grabbed me from my bed to take me because I was like, I don't want to fucking do this. And when then they said, "Hey, you could have died," then I was like, oh, okay, maybe.
I like doctors.
Yeah. My wife had to be the one that took me to the doctor for my shoulder that then we found out it was a fucking tumor. I just thought it was a tear, and I was like, "Ah, they'll be fine." Tumor. Goddamn.
Fucking tumor. Were you saying it's not a tumor? Were you doing that?
No, I was like, just don't make it cancer. That's all I was saying. I was like, "Hey, I'm sure doctor,
that's
true."
Jeffrey Todd says, "That's because Tom is stubborn." Yes, for any long-term listeners, I know some of you are. Remember the old days before it was the All Elite Wrap-Up. Tom is stubborn.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me what to do. Do my own thing. Who are you to tell me?
Who are you to tell me?
Yeah.
You can be in the chat and you can tell us whatever you want. You can also send us emails, aewrapup@gmail.com. You can send us an email. You can send us a video clip. You can send us an audio clip. We'd play it here. Normally, our senior European correspondent Ash does that, but he didn't do it this week, so we're begging any of you to join the club, right? Send us some stuff. Talk to us.
Yes. All right. Now, let's keep it going with our picks. We have now the AEW Women's World Championship match. Timeless Toni Storm taking on challenger Thunder Rosa. But before we do that, let's talk about last night's match because it ties in to this championship match. Last night, we had the virtuosa Deonna Purrazzo taking on Mariah May, who is awesome.
Old Toni Storm.
Yeah, old Toni Storm. And we have a good match here. I still think it's interesting. Did I point this out to you that when last week Mariah May, her first mentor from Japan, from Stardom, comes out and they do the drink champagne and kiss. Then on Collision, Mariah May's out with Timeless Toni Storm, but she's wearing the top of what her mentor was wearing when we saw her in AEW. So maybe we get a little dissension with Toni Storm and I can't remember her name. I apologize. And the lady from Stardom. So look out for that. But here we get your fun stuff. Mariah May gets the pinfall from Shenanigans, or excuse me, Deonna Purrazzo countered Mariah May, and Mariah May got pinned. After the match, Toni Storm and Mariah May are teaming up on Deonna, bum, 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 kicking, kicking, kicking. And then Thunder Rosa sprints down, as any good number one contender would do. Isn't that funny? It's never just another person. It's always the number one contender.
It's the person who has a match. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Anyhow. But Thunder Rosa takes down Toni Storm and then, you know, she wipes out Mariah May. And so they, you know, retreat up to the ramp. But then Deonna Purrazzo shoved Thunder Rosa and was like, "I don't need you to help me." And she's like, "Well, you're a bitch." Mariah May sweeps the leg while these two girls are fighting. Then Toni Storm tries to get into the ring. Thunder Rosa, you know, says, "You ain't better than me," and then gets her, as you can see from our pick for this episode, gets her in like a torture rack position and then takes lipstick and just draws all types of everywhere on Toni Storm's face and then says like, you like that? You want to smear makeup? Because that's what Toni Storm did a couple weeks ago to Thunder Rosa and it does all that. So
just all over. Yep.
All that being said, we go to Sunday night at AEW Dynasty. Who are you picking in the Women's World Championship match?
I think we're still going Toni Storm. I don't think we're ready to end this.
Yeah.
I mean, as good as Thunder Rosa is, I also don't think it's like we're ready to have her run as a champ again. So I think it's Toni Storm. But these two, somebody said, what, the Roderick Strong match is going to be sneaky good? I bet this one is sneaky good. I bet these ladies go hard hitting on this one.
Thunder Rosa, fun fact, as they've told you on AEW television, has not actually been pinned to lose her championship. So she's still the uncrowned champ, at least in her eyes.
Till Sunday.
And I agree with you. I think Toni Storm wins this because I think Deonna Purrazzo isn't just going to sit around and think that, oh, Thunder Rosa is going
to
better than me. Because the virtuosa and this thing and all that, that ain't a baby Teal. Face. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is.
Tom's getting an idea.
Oh,
Tom's brain is humming.
Thunder Rosa, Deonna Purrazzo. Mm-hmm. We make this into a blood feud, right? We're doing match, and then it finally gets to a lights out match. Thunder Rosa, Deonna Purrazzo. Loser leaves town kind of match. Obviously not leaves town, but you know what I'm saying? Like that threshold of the feud. And guess who comes back to fuck Thunder Rosa? DMD. Oh, that would be fucking great, wouldn't it?
Jeffrey Sills even throws out the name Jamie Hayter.
Ooh, but.
You can get them all. Right? Hater comes out.
Well, no. 2-on-1. Yeah. 2-on-1. Da-da-da-da-da. You get Britt Baker and Deonna Purrazzo putting the boots to Thunder Rosa. Well, poor Thunder Rosa. Someone's got to help her. Hater's going to hate.
Haterade.
Boom. Mm-hmm. There's Jamie Hayter. And you could even do like Britt Baker goes, oh, hell yeah. Jamie Hayter's with us. She's going to kick her too. And then she clotheslines
uh-huh.
her. Yeah.
Yep.
Gives her a how's your mother. And then.
We need a lady to start giving somebody the see ya. Remember that? Oh. Fucking remember that where they just see ya? Fucking threw him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Willow could do that. She definitely has the strength to do that for sure. Mm-hmm. So we both got Toni Storm. I also think Toni Storm being champion, then going up against this lady from Stardom where it's the battle for Mariah May. I think we have that as the next feud for the championship. Okay, Tim, we got two matches left, and here we go. We got Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson, and before we give our picks, last night we had Will Ospreay versus Claudio Castagnoli, and we get some fun, right? AEW chants from the crowd, all your good stuff, and Ospreay, let me see here, yes, Claudio gets hit with the Hidden Blade. Ospreay wins. Then after the match, Powerhouse Hobbs, Takeshita, Kyle Fletcher attack Claudio, which then obviously brings out Jon Moxley, who is not a part of this pay-per-view, but did come out to start this episode of Dynamite with a very impassioned promo saying, pro wrestling's awesome, and I'm the man to lead it.
Well, we have a threads about that, too. It says, Dynamite just feels right with Mox. This is from Must Be Colin. It says, Dynamite just feels right with Mox. I know his schedule's getting full, but I hope we get him on TV still. AEW Dynamite.
Yeah. And
it was so great. That promo, man, was just.
Well, anytime AEW gets a little bit of flack for whatever it is, or it's an injury that messed up plans, Jon Moxley, who is legitimately the true ace of AEW. I know that, Ospreay's the best wrestler and Okada and Kenny Omega, but like the fucking benchmark, the heavy hitter, the fucking person you rely on when all the cards are down is Jon fucking Moxley. He can give you any type of match. He can do the fun, flipsy shit with a Kenny Omega. Him and Will Ospreay, I bet you would be a match of the year. Ooh, match of the year. You know what I'm saying? I bet you next week, as he challenged him, Jon Moxley versus Powerhouse Hobbs is going to kick all the ass.
So awesome. I was so glad when he said his fucking name. I was like, oh, yes. That's going to be awesome. Loving that. Yeah, that Moxley stuff was great. I loved all of that. I was here for all of that.
So Moxley comes out to then take out Powerhouse Hobbs, Takeshita, and Kyle Fletcher. All of this is happening, and Ospreay is pissed off. He's like, hey, what the fuck is all this? And Kyle Fletcher, his old friend from the United Kingdom, whatever that hand gesture is, says like, hey, you know what the fuck we do here? It's the Don Callis family. Like, the fuck are you getting mad about? We do this to everybody. And so that's the end of the segment, which again leads us to Sunday night in the dream match of dream matches for this month. It's Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. Who are you picking?
I think it's too hot right now to not go Ospreay. We got a threads here. It says, heretic by nature, says AEW would do well to make Ospreay the face of the company. The man is absolutely stellar to watch and popular as fuck with the fans. Also, I would like to see Ospreay versus MJF someday. The promos would be fun. AEW Dynamite. I mean, the guy is a hard thing to say. You know what I mean? Now, I don't think you need a guy necessarily if you have a couple top guys, but he's got to be one of them right now. As I said, I could put him in front of non-wrestling fans, especially some ladies, and people are going to be like, who is this guy? You know what I mean? He has charisma. He's got moves. He's got swagger. He's got... what is he not checking off the box right now?
Diversity. That's what it is. That's why Swerve Strickland needs to be the face of your company. I'm tired.
So, I get that. And Swerve is going to be awesome as a champion as we get there. Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, I don't think there's a face, right? I think you have some top folks. Swerve is one of them. Ospreay is one of them. MJF, if you keep him, please. For the love of everything holy. You got your Moxes, you got your Samoa Joes, right? You have a stable of top folks, but Ospreay's one that you can put on the Tonight Show. And so is Swerve, right? Right now it's Swerve's time, I feel like, but Ospreay's got to be one of your guys where people go like, AW, what's that about? You go, check out this dude.
Yes, 1,000,000%. I want to clarify something when I say this. Is I am not anti Will Ospreay, as I will show you. I think maybe you had the tweet up and so, or the thread up. And so I'll show again. I have a Brub sticker. Like this Bruv. Isn't like a, yeah, this isn't just me. Like, ooh, I really do. I like him. His Hey EW with RJ City was fantastic. Fantastic. So I am not anti.
We need more RJ City, by the way, but
yes, he needs a graphic. Christ almighty, you know what I mean? Carlos Cabrera joins the Spanish announce team and he gets a graphic. RJ City's been here since NAMM and nothing.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Any slightly comedy interview needs to be RJ City, but I digress.
So again, I am not saying I don't like Will Ospreay. I'm saying, as I've said a couple weeks, and for anyone new, if you've heard this last few weeks, I apologize. It's going to be a little rinse and repeat, but I'll say it one more time. I believe every fan, for the most part, right? I'm generalizing a little bit here, but every fan of Will Ospreay is already watching AEW.
Yeah.
So if you're wanting to get to people that aren't the Ospreay fan, you don't do it with Bryan
Danielson.
Say
this. Yeah, every wrestling fan of Will Ospreay is already watching, right?
Yes.
Everybody that's inclined to be a wrestling fan that isn't watching right now probably doesn't know who Will Ospreay is, right?
Agreed.
And I think what you're saying there, and I agree, is like you'll probably catch more of them with Swerve than you will Will Ospreay.
That is what I'm saying. The casual fan. As you've seen from WrestleMania Fallout, Cody goes to all these shows. If you want to be the challenger brand, instead of taking him, you know, your champion to the Today Show, you take him to
your blonde guy and send him out there. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and if you want to be the challenger brand, you take Swerve Strickland and put him with Charles Barkley, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. You know what I mean? Or get him on, what some of the hip hop radio shows up there in New York. Some of the names are missing me at the moment, right?
Oh,
that
the
you see all the rappers
Club.
Go on and stuff, right?
Yeah, the Breakfast Club, right? Rosenberg wouldn't like it because he's a WWE guy, but Charlamagne the God would love that.
Right. Yeah. Get up on some of those. Yeah. Get Swerve up there. Cause again, he's got the music connection
and he's plugged into the culture right now. Fun fact, The hottest thing in entertainment, at least to me, you can disagree if you like, is the rap beef between Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, Drake, Rick Ross, and we got other motherfuckers on their way. And if you put, let's just say, Will Ospreay up there with Charlamagne the God, and he's like, Tom, have you heard of this? And he's going, like, who's Rick Ross, bro?
The best rap beef right now is Diddy versus the feds, but that's another point. That's another point.
Well, that's a real beef. This is competition. This ain't federal crimes. But what I'm saying is, if you do those outside of the box entertainment shows, Will Ospreay doesn't know shit about America. What is he going to say?
True.
What is he going to say?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why you need a stable of folks. But I agree with you. And I mean, look, I think we think Ospreay's winning this match, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where we're going? Because, you know, I think you're right. I mean, we're both probably going to pick the same thing on Swerve, so we can get to that. But yeah, I think Ospreay is definitely winning. I think you keep him as one of the reasons for coming to the show, right? You got to make him, like, when we say Hogan must pose, Ospreay must bruv for a while.
Now, play devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. Mm. There has to be a time that Will Ospreay loses, right? You with me?
Yep.
So who's the most credible person that Will Ospreay can lose to?
Brian Danielson.
The greatest of all time, Brian Danielson. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get that out of the way now.
He's standing there with a shit-eating open mouth smile looking at him like, you lost to me. I'm 57 years old or whatever.
Here's the thing. This is what I would do too. This is why I still think it's important to have a pivot during the match. Very similar to when we were at All Out in Chicago in 2022. Mm-hmm. And it was obvious that the Acclaim should beat Swerve and Keith Lee, right? How obvious it was, but the finish was already made. This is the pivot that you need, right? Is the, hey, actually we're going with the acclaimed. Okay, boom. And then they win the championships, right?
Right.
I think if you wanted to, if these two have the match that we think they're going to have, it's knockdown, drag out. Oh my God, this is a classic. We stand up, we clap our hands for 10 minutes. You have Bryan Danielson win because then his retirement match is the rematch. Him.
Or it could even become, we could get another one before his retirement match, and then that's the rubber match, right? Like, so he wins one that, like, it wasn't decisive, right? Like, he did a veteran move and caught Will Ospreay, and he's like, and Ospreay's like, bruv, you're going to win it like that, right? Like, he's going to be doing his old thing. He's like, you're going to really do that? I thought you were the greatest. And he's like, you're nothing but a chump. And he's going to be like, I'm sorry, you need me to do it again, right? And then maybe Ospreay gets one over, right? And then we get the rubber match, yeah.
Yeah, before I leave, you assholes, I'm going to have to beat him. Yeah.
Yeah, in a last man standing or what it, right? Like a, whatever, you know, it is. Or submission match. That's what it'll be, right? Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. That's why I think it's important to have pivots, because if you start to read the crowd and the moment of, like, we need to go the other way.
So that way he has to give up his career by saying, I give up.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. I actually really love that.
Give it all up. Give everything up. Oh, that's what Ospreay can say. Like, I'm making you give it all up, bruv. You could even get a little heat on Ospreay for that. You could turn a little bit of it sour, you know?
Chef's kiss to that is you put him in some type of lock where he's facing his family and he has to tap out in front of Bree and the kids.
Bree's there crying.
That would be fun.
Yeah,
that
she's not that good of an actress. We can't pull it off.
It's Will Ospreay. We're taking Will Ospreay.
Will Ospreay, yeah.
All right. As we mentioned, the AEW World Championship match. But let's talk about the moment of the night. We have Samoa Joe versus Swerve Strickland. As we said, we're both going with Swerve Strickland here. But I don't think we can have a podcast episode about AEW and at least not mention the fucking swerve stomp off the top rope to 10 motherfuckers looking like goddamn Iron Man when he lands on the ground, or Superman, or, you know, fill in the blank superhero. That was fucking awesome. The luck that it takes to land on your feet, because he could have easily stumbled and then stood up, you know. Boom. What a fucking moment, right?
Yeah.
What'd you...
Man, I'm just... That... the practice, first of all, of them doing that, right? And then, again, we've talked about this. They miss a lot of shots sometimes. Mm-hmm. So they had to make sure, hey, I'm going to be doing this. You need to come at this angle or else it might not look the same. We have a Threads about this, actually. We can maybe tie this into multiple subjects here. At RK Rivera 2 says, I'm noticing AEW Dynamite has been getting more creative when it comes to run-ins and other parts of the show, like Trent popping out to stop the run-in to help OC, or that swerve stomp to all the security guards. And there has been stories throughout the show. Swerve and Joe started as just backstage promos and ended the night in the ring. This might be the influence of their new VP in creative. I've noticed a few things, right? A few things. You've even sent me like some camera angles and stuff like that they took, mm-hmm. and things like that. And I like it. And I think it did come off well. It gave Swerve, it made Swerve look smooth as fuck, right? That stomp. Mm-hmm. And then he just slowly walks up and he's like, bitch. Oh, I'm so excited for this. And yeah, I mean, we're both picking it. And we're going to be ending the show with the dance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be fucking having a blast. Having a blast.
Devil's advocate.
Unless Joe's like,
unless Prince Nana is like, hey, I'm tired of carrying this dead weight, Swerve. You obviously aren't going to win anything, so I'm going to go with my embassy and we're going to take you out that way.
Or he does it because of that, right? He said, I viewed you as dead weight. You were forgetting about us. We got you here. Now you weren't around. So when Hangman made me an offer and got me to pick a side, and then Hangman sitting up there on a fucking black horse.
That would be a motherfucker.
And he just fucking tips his hat and rides off.
Yeah, just rides off. Oh,
Swerve's like, you fucking son of a bitch.
Because then, as everyone wants, right? We've been saying this till we're blue in the face collectively as the IWC, AWIWC, is we want Will Ospreay to win the championship in Wembley. It's better to do it against Samoa Joe, who's then had a longer title reign, than Swerve Strickland, mm-hmm. who's had the belt for, a month and a half at that point.
And if Swerve's like, the fucking Hangman, again, and now he's crazy.
And then that's
and over here,
Wembley.
Nana's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, God. He's going to steal my weed again. What did you think? I was going to pick you?
He threatened to steal my weed again.
Yeah.
That was the best Nana ever. He's like, no, you're not going to do that. No, you're not. He was like spitting mad. That one pissed him off. He's like, do not. Swerve.
Damn.
Now, we only picked two matches different. And so I got to pick a tiebreaker here. We picked the Shibata and Cassidy versus the Shane Taylor Promotions different. Mm-hmm. And we picked FTR Young Bucks different. Mm-hmm. So now I got to pick which one of these I'm more sure of. So that way, if we tie, I'll still win. And I'm not as sure about the FTR Young Bucks, I think, as I am the Shane Taylor Promotions Shibata Cassidy, although I'm not really sure about that one either. So I'm going to pick that one as my tiebreaker.
Did I play the game the best way?
In the game. Man, we think a lot alike, it looks like. Out of, 12 that we picked 10 the same. But I think we're right. I think we're right on all of them. I think I'm going to get 100% of them right, and you're going to miss two.
Yeah, or did I just go along with that and make the two hardest choices for you?
Right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably you were probably calculating from ahead. Yeah, you're probably calculating. We got a couple of. There was one other, threads that I wanted to hit on, and because I think we got so Bleary Lion 7 says, so happy getting used to seeing Pac on TV regularly again. Also, I fucking love that Penta, unashamedly, just as a video game character that happens to wrestle. He spam taunts to build momentum, plays to the crowd, cheers and woos, and then snaps someone's arm so violently whilst dressed as the Joker. I can't imagine not liking Penta, AEW Dynamite.
Before we started this podcast, I saw on Threads a video, and I can't remember the account, so I apologize, but it was a video of Stone Cold Steve Austin saying that he loves Penta, and it's awesome. He got a shirt from him and all this stuff. So if Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I don't know if it was a current or a couple of years, I don't know when the video was taken, but if Stone Cold Steve Austin is co-signing Penta, George Kittle does it after every catch, maybe give him
dude's got the juice.
Maybe give him a title shot. That's what I'm saying. Maybe just give him a real, not a title eliminator, random collision. I'm saying like a Penta's going for the championship. Will he do it? That's what
Could.
I'm saying.
I mean, I didn't get. We got one more here. It is from at Dale McCune. He says, Joe doesn't get enough credit as champ. I've really enjoyed him as champ. Cuts a good promo. Feels larger than life. Good in the ring. AEW Dynamite. Yeah, I think he's always in that top tier. He can also go down. He can hold one of your lower titles, and that's a believable story. But he is never not believable as a psycho that will murder whoever's in front of him. So him being the champion just because he decided it was time always fits.
I'm being dead serious. Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything that Joe has done bad in AEW. Now, I know he was in that Wardlow thing, but even him being like, I cut your hair because I knew that your hair was your connection to your dad, you know, and all that. His stuff with Darby Allin and the TNT Championship, remember that, and the hardcore matches they would have? I can't think of anything bad that he's done.
He's fat!
Obviously...
I mean, that's coming from Scott Steiner. That's not from me.
This fat son of a...
I mean...
I'll make him bleed!
Scott still harbors a chug grudge.
Scott, get
she's
over
it. She's not only ugly, she's fat!
I had to give you a good
that's
one.
That's my favorite
one. Like that one.
That's my favorite one. The punctuation on fat is my favorite thing.
I love that, like... Bully knows it's coming because he's like mouthing along the lines. Like he's probably like, don't laugh at it again. Don't laugh at it again. This is the 14th fucking thing.
Mm-hmm. She's not only ugly, she's fat.
You know what I heard not too long ago as well? Is Samoa Joe was actually talking about how he was behind the camera watching that promo.
Oh, yeah.
And
they had to do it twice
yeah. Because Petey Williams was laughing the first time.
That's the thing is, at one point, I think Steiner knew and was leaning into his things, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
At one point, like, it's like, yes, some of it were born out of, like, he thinks a little faster than his mouth runs sometimes, right? And he mushes words together, and sometimes I do that, too. But then it became, all right, now I'm going to be absurd with the things I say while I'm doing it, and it was great. Some of the best TV we've ever gotten. Jeffrey Todd says, is it too bad that WWE just wasted Samoa Joe? Good thing Vince is gone. Yeah, I mean, look, WWE, you know, they've got a lot to recover from how bad they were, I think, right? I tried to watch a little bit of Raw. We'll save that because we're the All Elite wrap-up, but they got a long ways to go, right? I'll say that.
Time out. We're never calling it X on this podcast. If you go to twitter.com, it takes you to Twitter. We're calling it Twitter. We're not calling it X because some man-child... Yeah, you said, or X, whatever you call it. Yeah, just because some man-child bought it and then wants us to call it that. It ain't happening. Second, Sami Zayn's awesome. I love Sami Zayn. I will always love Sami Zayn. I've loved Sami. You know this. I've loved Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn's great. I love Sami Zayn. I like Kevin Owens. And Sami Zayn's awesome. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that is...
It's bad TV over there still. It's very bad TV. It's very... Jokes are not funny.
I will say again, I challenge anyone to tell me, go back and watch those NXT weekly shows. And we all love the takeovers, and I was one of them too. The takeovers were amazing. But those weekly shows fucking sucked. And that's what we're getting on the main roster now that Triple H is in charge of that. It's the same thing. These pay-per-views that
amazing
I've been reading
pay-per-views.
About
are
the best WrestleMania of all time. 19, really. But the best WrestleMania of all time is 40. All that stuff. But then you go to the fucking shows and it's Cody saying, I'm a champion. My daddy loves this. He's dead. You know, or whatever the fuck he says. I sent you that clip, too, that people on social media are already starting to turn on Cody.
Cody
told you
looks like you asked AI to make a WWE champion, like a video of a WWE champion, right? Like just, I don't know. He just seems fake in everything.
He seems like, and this is not, again, I want to always distinguish when we use real people's names, what I'm saying here. I'm only talking of the character Cody Rhodes, the human being that has a child and all of that stuff. I'm not talking about that person. So let's separate the two right here. The character of Cody Rhodes seems like he's never had an original thought in his fucking life. It's all just, oh, I've heard this, but my dad, I can go on my dad's talking. Like,
I say this, you'll cheer now?
Ball. Yeah.
Yay. I say this, you don't cheer? I say this then. Yay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels very.
Yeah.
It feels, I don't know how, this is what it feels like to me. It feels like he desperately, I love that.
Does everyone not like
look at this.
Me?
Yeah, see, you guys got to check out the YouTube live stream here. It feels like to me like he desperately, desperately, desperately is pleading for everybody to like him.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels that way. And it's felt that way for a long time now.
Well, and the opportunity is like, okay, Cody, then tell us why we should like you. And he goes, ah.
Because.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the part where it's a disconnect with me.
But you should like us because we like you and we want to talk to you. And you get in touch with us through threads at @all_elite_wrapup or aewrapup@gmail.com. I send in the emails, the videos. The audio clips, we'll play them here. We'll talk to them. You can join the chat with us when we do this live each week on Thursdays at precisely 7:30. And then just talk to us, man. Talk to us. We want to be friends. Check out AllEliteWrapUp.com for all of the links you might need, including the donate links, because we need some money. We got to recoup these costs going to Dynasty. And if you're going to Dynasty.
That's what I was going to say. If you're going to Dynasty, hit us up. Say hi. We would love to talk to you.
Tell us where you're going to be at. We will let you buy us a drink. We are very philanthropic. We will love to let you buy us a drink. So find us, and we will come hang out with you. We'll be friends. And then we'll all come back here next week and talk about it on the All Elite Wrap-Up.